they couldn't even live without him. So to remove the pangs of separation and to make their life again, Krishna blew his conch shell. And translation of the verse itself. The white and fat bowed conch shell, being gripped by the hand of Lord Krishna and sounded by him, appeared to be reddened by the touch of his transcendental voice. It seems that the white swan was playing in the stems of red lotus flowers. It's very interesting how Srila Prabhupada explains the analogy and how it's important. The white conch shell, reddened by the touch of Lord's lotus lips, are compared to the Paramahamsa devotee, a white swan who is eternally swims in the water of transcendental bliss, which decorated with the red lotuses of Lord's feet. And Srila Prabhupada continues in his purport, by ardent love and devotional service to the Lord, or in other words, by spiritual contact with the Lord, everything becomes spiritually reddened, which means acquires spiritual qualities and experiences transcendental bliss. Like the conch shell in the grip of the Lord. But how to get into this grip of the Lord? How to become this fortunate conch shell? The content of Srila Prabhupada purport in this regard is very similar to the content of three first verses of the prayers of Queen Kunti. And it goes like this. Although Antar Bahir Avastitaha, Avastita situated Antar, inside and Bahir, outside of everything, Krishna is never seen to anybody. Why it's so? And it's very mysterious. And Queen Kunti explains further that Maya Javanika Anchikam, Maya Javanika Anchikam, Anchikam means covered by Maya deluding, and Javanika, that's curtain. So the deluding curtain of Maya covers the eyes of everybody. That's why nobody can see Krishna, practically speaking. So in this way, Maya dissolving the person to see him and recognize him. To not see him means to not recognize him. One devotee was telling me the story how he couldn't recognize the their lordship, Shishu Gaura Nitai, on the altar when he joined in one Namahata temple. And he could see only decorative vases. He was seeing these two figures of the Lord as decorative vases. And he was dancing, participating in the kirtan in front of them, but he couldn't recognize that it was the Lord. And only in a few days, Lord somehow removed this deluding cover from his eyes. And where the vases gone? And which vases? There were no any vases here. And then only he could recognize it. Oh, that's my Lord in front of me. So Lord is everywhere, and we cannot avoid him. And as soon as the cover of matter is removed, then we would be able to see the manifestation of Lord everywhere. Srila Prabhupada explains in one lecture, just like you have got cataract, you cannot see, you become blind. But if the cataract is operated, then your vision is again revived. So you can see. God is there, within. God is outside. But why we cannot see? Because we are not devotees. But as soon as you become a devotee, you become a lover of God or Krishna, then you can see. And then he quotes this famous verse, Manjana Chirita Bhakti Vilochanena Santak Sadaiva Pridayeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sundara Machinta Gunasvarupam Govinda Mati Purushantam Ham Bhajami Prema Anjana Chirita Bhakti Vilochanena Vilochanena with the eyes smeared Chirita with Prema Anjana, the ointment of love. This devotee can see Shyama Sundara Achintya Gunasvarupam, the inconceivable form, in, Guna Svarupam, or manifestation of Shyamasundara, the Lord Shyamasundara, dark complexion and very beautiful Shyamasundara. Like from the mixture of milk and water, the Swan is always drink only milk. And he lives on this essence, milk like an essence of this mixture. So in the same way, when devotee becomes purified, then he will see only Krishna and his energies everywhere, as Swan drinks only milk. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned in one lectures, at that stage, seeing the beauty of lover, devotee will appreciate Krishna's artistic sense. When he hears the sweet voice of a bird, he immediately understands, oh, Krishna is speaking so nicely through this bird. Seeing the sunset at Ganga, he will see how shining golden silken garment of my Lord is. Everything will act like an udipan for this devotee. In everything he will see Krishna. As it was with Mukunda Datta, the famous associate of Lord Chaitanya, a royal physician, while fanning the Muslim ruler with a peacock pen, he was looking at peacock feathers and he immediately felt Krishna, immediately felt the presence of Krishna, and the senses, he couldn't restrain himself, the feeling just overflooded him and he fainted. So how the devotee can see Lord everywhere? Who can see? And Srila Prabhupada explained, it's only Paramahamsas, Muninam Amalatmanam. Muninam, those who can discriminate between mala, matter, or faults, and amala, means spirit, or faultless reality. That's Paramahamsa. They only can see the Lord everywhere. So when Krishna blew his conch, the sound awoke in all the citizens the desire to see the Lord. They began to run towards him, but on the contrary, the sound of Krishna's conch shell on the battle of Kurukshetra shattered the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtra. And it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.15, Yad bibeti svayam bayam, bayam, even fear, svayam bayam, fear personified, bibeti, fierce sound of Krishna's, is her name or anything connected to Krishna. So if one hears something threatening him, what he would do? Go away in opposite direction. But the citizens of Dwaraka, full of love, they started to run towards the sound of Krishna's conch. By this we can understand that these devotees, they were devoid of any fears. Generally, fear means attachment. So they were Paramahamsas, those who devoid any malas or any faults or attachments, material attachments. It's interesting that at the beginning, at the mind of devotee, because it's full of fears, means attachments, he runs away from the holy name when devotee tried to chant the holy name. He cannot concentrate his mind on the holy name. But when this attachment have disappeared, he is fully controlled by his only real fear to not hear Krishna or his name. Then his mind is able to be fully absorbed in the name. The sound of Krishna's name awakes in his heart the desire to meet Krishna, to be with him, to see him. And Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.38 explains how devotee begins to see Krishna face to face. Devotee sees the Lord worshipping the Lord in the form of transcendental sound representation. And it's interesting how Srila Jiva Goswami explains it further. When the process of chanting of mantra pasana, or worship of the Lord by chanting mantras, becomes complete, the eligible devotee attains the stage known as svarasiki, or direct perception, where Lord Krishna personally appears in the heart of the devotee and manifests his transcendental pastimes there. And this svarasiki stage of meditation on the Lord is described as follows in Srimad Bhagavatam, in 3rd canto. O my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their heart becomes cleansed, and you take seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. And Krishna himself gives the example of such his manifestation in the heart of the devotee. My dear gopis, when I perform the rasa dance with you in the evening of the Sharad season in the forest of Vrindavan, some fortunate gopis were forcibly prevented from going to see me. These gopis immediately left their bodies and quickly attained my eternal association by constantly thinking of my transcendental glories. And again, Srila Jiva Goswami explained to us that in this verse, Krishna says that when certain gopi were prevented from going to see him and participating in rasa dance, Krishna personally appeared in their heart in aprakata form. And those gopi gave up their bodies meditating on Krishna and directly seeing him in his aprakata features. And in this way, they attain the direct association with the Lord. This is a process of seeing Krishna through the ears. Another interesting point which brought up by this verse, that the more love is being awakened in the heart of the devotee, the more qualities Lord gives to this devotee to manifest this love. It's very interesting. In the terms of our verse, our personality as devotees become more and more reddened with the touch of the red lotus lips of the Lord. As it was with Dhruva Maharaja, when he saw the Lord who appeared before him in the forest when Dhruva was meditating, when the meditation of Dhruva attained the stage of perfection, Dhruva became absorbed in the love of Godhead. And Srimad Bhagavatam describes that he was drinking the Lord with his eyes and kisses his lotus feet with his mouth and embracing the Lord with his arms. He wanted to offer suitable prayers to the Lord because this scene, this picture of Lord was so beautiful. But he was very inexperienced. He was only a 5-year-old boy, and he couldn't do this. He couldn't utter out any word. And then Krishna, being so kind to Dhruva, just seeing his condition and his unrestricted ardent love to him and his desire to express this love, he just touched the forehead of Dhruva with his conch, and immediately, with this touch, Krishna was bestowed by the very poetic ability to poetically express his feelings. So that's how qualities come to manifest the love which increases in the heart of the devotee. So progressing through the different stages of his bhakti, astonishing devotee beholds more and more attributes that appeared in him, which sustain and manifest his love. The conch of personality of the devotee become more and more spiritually reddened, in other words. And Srila Jiva Goswami explains that the ladder of different rasas, from neutrality to conjugal love, is but manifestation of this increasing love. It's nothing else. Devotees in conjugal love manifest the top love. But even between them, there are feelings or bhavas which manifest only, which only gopi can manifest. And the tears, as it was expressed by Lord Chaitanya, the tears flow from the eyes of this devotee like torrents of rain. Their body becomes so hot that other personality can feel burned in their presence. For such devotees, one single moment appears like a day of Brahma if he feels separation with the Lord. And this kalpa appears completely empty. Nothing can give solace to the devotee. But even a kalpa appears like a second for a devotee when he is with the Lord. Another example of the quality of beauty. See, it's very prominent in the devotee who represent the wives of and beloved of the Lord. So the most loving devotees, gopis, possess the topmost beauty, which helps them to express their love. Krishna is very pleased to see the beauty of his gopis. And when the gopis see that Krishna is pleased with them, they become many times more happy, and this increases their love and their beauty. In turn, this increases Krishna's beauty and pleasure. And so the devotee and Lord enjoy loving exchanges, but without interruption. Lord Chaitanya describes the bliss of Sankirtana, or chanting of the holy name, as Ananda Buddhi Vardhanam Ambuddhi, that ocean of Ananda or bliss Vardhanam increasing, ever increasing. So a devotee getting more and more inspired, more and more spiritually reddish on his spiritual path. We can also experience this at our classes. That's my realization, actually. That's the last point which I want to present. Devotees are being transcendentally inspired by experiences present of the Lord during our sincere discussions. And because Lord mentions that I am not on Vaikuntha, I am not in the heart of meditating gopi, I am present wherever my devotees discuss my glories. So this inspiration is something very special. This inspiration which we can get from these classes, it's called Brahma Maya. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned about this when he explains the state of Dhruva when he saw the Lord. And it enables them, this inspiration, to speak about the Lord very sincerely. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned that the sound of their speeches will also bestow the feeling of the Lord present in whoever hears these devotees. So it's how we are getting more and more reddish by the association with the devotees, and how we can feel the presence of Krishna in the association of the devotees, direct presence. Thank you.
This principle then is that's coming out is that our attachment to the Lord, that is the actual main principle. But the attachment shouldn't be speculative, because otherwise we can always say what is our attachment, that we're attached. And do what we like. Therefore, then there's the form of the devotional process, because then you can say some attachment is there. Does that make some sense? You know, just like the boy wants to show appreciation of the girl, so he gives her roses, not an old shoe he found on the side of the road. You know what I'm saying? It's like that. Or maybe it's an old shoe that's, you know, very important to him. You know, it's an old shoe that's there from, you know, the French Revolution, that was, you know, worn by Robespierre or something like that. So to him it's very important, so that's so dear to him, so he wants to give something to the girl, so he gives her this shoe in appreciation. so it may not be appreciated. Does that make some sense? You know? So there's a standard medium through which Krishna, he likes. This is the way he likes to exchange. Therefore, the form of devotional service is there. But if someone thinks the form itself is exclusively the devotional service, then it's not as, won't be as appreciated by the Lord. Because the form is simply the, you know, it's like if you come up, boy gives the flowers to the girl, wow, aren't they great flowers? And you'll just see here, the petal here, this, and the stem here, and see how it's all nicely done. And the girl's, you know, there's no interaction with her. He's just getting into, you know, then it's kind of also missing something, you know. Okay, it's the right form, but, you know, it's an appreciation for her. But instead, it's being all projected at the flowers and their wrapping and the different things, and you know, they're very special, they came from this place and all these things, very difficult to get, and it's kind of like, okay, yeah, nice, you know. So, like that. So that's the idea. So then here, Mati's brought out is, by the Lord's grace, we can appreciate the Lord, we can see the Lord, you know, that nice example of devotee comes, the new person comes to the temple and he only sees these decorative flower vases. He doesn't even see the deities. I think quite a few devotees had that experience. They just see the flower arrangements. They don't see the deities at all. And then Krishna, when he's pleased with the service, then he reveals. So that's important, is that, so the form of it is important because it's what, a way to express affection. But at the same time, as getting the Lord isn't just because we perform the activity we get. You know? Because otherwise, there, the person's there standing in front of the deities, looking, but doesn't see them. So the Lord, then with service, then he reveals. Like that, you know, so many times. Service is there. So that's important. The other aspect Mataji is bringing out is this point about being able to always see the Lord everywhere. So the Paramahamsa, because they're always absorbed in the Lord, then everything, they will be able to connect to the Lord. They'll see it in connection with the Lord. Because you see what's important to you. Right? That's what you, what matters to you is what you see. Even if it's in the negative. But for the Paramahamsas, then everything's Krishna, so everything's positive. So whatever they actually focus on, then everything reminds them of Krishna. So that's important, that the life is arranged so that, in maximum way, everything that's important with us, to us, is connected to Krishna. Then it becomes very good, very nice. Okay, that's all. Yes?
This connection, the early is from Upendra Prabhu, when he took initiation, he gave us darshan to Srila Prabhupada. He was very attached to his baby blanket.
Baby blanket.
He had something to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, what is this? This is useless. He was very hurt because he was very attached to it. The next day, Prabhupada used it for seating arrangement.
Yeah. 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 Funny. Any other comments on this? That was. Yeah. Okay, then, so Chaitanya is going to. Okay. Yeah.
Hi Krishna. So, my name is Krishna Chaitanya Das, and I'm studying in Bhaktivedanta Academy in this Gurukul. So, I would like to speak on the verse 27th of the 11th chapter, which describes how the Lord is entering the city of Dwarka. So it says, as the Lord passed along the public road of Dwarka, his head was protected from the sunshine of the by the white umbrella. And he was fanned with white feathered fans, and showers of flower fell upon the road. His yellow garments and the garland of flowers made it appear as if a dark cloud were surrounded simultaneously by sun, moon, lightning and rainbows. So here it says that Lord Krishna's head was especially protected with a white umbrella. And he was fanned by the white feathers fans. So the whiteness here of the umbrella and the fans is to show the purity and also the it's in the mode of goodness. So when we want to serve Krishna very sincerely and to make him really happy, we have to serve him in the mode of goodness. We cannot serve him very, very nicely with passion or ignorance. Not at all with ignorance. So we have to be come up to the platform of goodness so that we can serve him. Then it mentions that the shower of flowers fell upon the road when Lord Krishna was passing through the roads. And all this was done with great devotion and love for Krishna. Because early also it says, when Krishna came, before entering the city of Dwarka, he blew his conch shell, so announcing his arrival. So all the members of the Yadu dynasty and Bhoja dynasty, etc., they ran forward to meet Krishna. And as in the discussion, Maharaj said that when Krishna was passing through the roads, all the respected families, the Matajis, they came on the roof to eagerly they wanted to see Krishna. So Krishna was extremely happy because of this, not just because they profuse a lot of flowers, pour a lot of flowers on Krishna, but by the dedication, by the love, by the devotion, he was extremely pleased. He also says in Bhagavad Gita that patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakta prayachati tad aham bhakti upahishtam tad ashrami prayatatmana. So that whoever offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, some water, I accept it. So here it is, our offering is not much needed. The most needed thing is that we serve Krishna with great devotion. Because for him, all these things are not so much really needed. Our offering is not so much needed. But the thing is needed is our devotion. So somebody may think that, okay, so Krishna just needs some devotion, some love. So let's give him all devotion and let's have some halwa, puri and all sabjis only for us. So we should have the tendency that whatever, like Krishna, he likes makhan mishri too much. So let me churn the butter, let me remove the makhan for him, let me add some mishri, and let me offer it to him. He likes it very much. By this he will become strong, and like all this ideas of Mother Yashoda. So here, and because our offering is not so much in need. Because in Brahma Samhita it is mentioned that Chintamani Prakara Sadmasukalpa Vriksha Lakshavritesa Surabhira Pipalayanta, the roads of Golok Vrindavan are made of touchstones, and all the trees are desire trees, and there are thousands of Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, they are ready to serve Krishna. And so there is nothing he needs from us. Just there is our devotion that binds him. Like also Mataji, she explained that Krishna says, I'm not present in Vaikuntha, nor I'm in the hearts of the great sages who are meditating upon me. But I am situated where my devotee is with devotion. He is chanting my glory, he is singing, he is dancing there. So just because of devotion, he gets tied to a mortar and is afraid of Mother Yashoda, her anger, her stick. And just because of the anger, the Supreme Lord of the universe, he becomes a charioteer of our Arjuna. Not on a playground or some birthday place, but he's driving the chariot on the battlefield where everyone is ready to kill each other. Even if Krishna is not going to die, but still on the material platform we see that he is so much bind with the devotion of his friend Arjuna, that he becomes a king of the golden city. He becomes a charioteer, like it's a job of a Shudra. So, just because of our service, he comes to us and he accepts our service. So then in the shloka it's mentioned that his yellow garments and the garlands of flower made it appear as if a dark cloud were surrounded simultaneously by sun, moon, lightning and rainbows. So Srila Prabhupada also in the purport of this shloka, he says that the sun, moon, lightning and rainbow, it never appears in the sky simultaneously. Because when the sun is there, the moon becomes insignificant. And so, but we cannot imagine this. But if we think of Krishna's potency, that anything is possible. Like we hear, it's a very famous story of Narad Muni meeting the cobbler and the brahmana. So both of them ask the same questions. So whenever you meet Lord Narayan, please ask that when am I going to get liberated? So when Narad Muni goes to Vaikuntha, he asks Lord Narayan that I met on the planet Earth a cobbler and a brahmana. Both were chanting your glories and both asked me that when are they going to reach you? When are they coming to your lotus feet? So Lord Krishna, Lord Narayan, he said, tell the brahmana that he has many, many lifetimes to come. And tell the cobbler that this is his last birth in the material world. After leaving this body, he will reach me. So Narad Muni was in confusion because the cobbler is just doing his work, is making shoes, and brahmana is sitting in meditation in the morning, doing all kinds of pujas, doing yagyas, and doing so many things. So why the brahmana has to suffer still many, many births, and the cobbler has the last birth? So Lord Narayan said, when they ask what I was doing, tell them that I was trying to pass an elephant through an eye of a needle. So Narad Muni was like, he was not so much understanding what's happening. So he said, okay, I will ask them. So when he comes down to the earth planet, he meets the brahmana first, and the brahmana is so eager to know the answer, he runs towards Narad Muni and he says, so Narad Muni, did you meet Lord Narayan? Did you go to Vaikuntha? He said, yeah. So what did he tell? When am I going to reach him? Narad Muni said, you have many, many lifetimes to go. He's like, why? I'm doing so many yagyas, I'm doing meditation, I'm doing my puja, I'm following so many vratas, why so many years? I'm not sure, I doubt that you went to Vaikuntha. Like, no, I really went to Vaikuntha. Okay, so tell me, what was Lord Narayan doing there? So Narad Muni says, like, he was trying to pass an elephant through an eye of a needle. Like, see, I told you, you never went there. This is stupidity, an elephant cannot go through an eye of a needle. Like, that's what Lord Narayan was doing. Like, you didn't go, I even doubt that you are Narad Muni. And he goes away. And then Narad Muni meets the cobbler. And the cobbler says, oh, Narad Muni, pays obeisances. He says, did you meet Lord Narayan? Yes. Yes. So, what was my Lord doing when you went to meet him? Like, he was just trying to pass an elephant through an eye of a needle. He's like, wow, so glorious darshan you got. Please describe please describe it to me briefly, what he was doing. He's like, come on, you don't feel it's strange, an elephant through an eye of a needle? Like, such a strange thing. How can you pass an elephant there? So the cobbler is saying, no, Narad Muni, how can you make a mistake to say that the Lord is doing something wrong? If he can fit the huge banyan tree in a small seed, then why can't he pass an elephant through an eye of a needle? Everything is possible for him. So, here it mentions again that Lord is entering the city, and everyone is with devotion. So we can see how much devotion the cobbler had, that he thinks, and as Mataji described, that whatever we do, whatever we see, it should be in the connection of Krishna. So the cobbler, he thought that the passing of an elephant through an eye of a needle is how great. And so all of us should try to come up and see whatever is there in the connection to Krishna and serve Him nicely.
Yeah, the element of the Lord's beauty, because we're used to seeing so many things that on their own are beautiful, but to see everything at once, that's something we haven't experienced, because each one of those has something unique, something special about it, but to see them all at once, then that's different. So the being pointed out is that the Lord's beauty is very special, but it's beyond, even though everything of beauty in this world comes from Him, but still His beauty is beyond that. His is something different. So we shouldn't mistake that this is so nice and Krishna must be just like this. That is there, but He's just like that and just like everything else beautiful at once being experienced. Right? You know, we see something like their example of the sunset, so it's very nice, but that's one element of beauty. But if it's that along with so many others, then that's, you know, just giving a hint. It's not even, analogy is never exactly defined. It's simply to give us an indication, right? It's something related to something we can't, in our conditioned state, can relate to. I think Jiva Goswami gives the example that someone does not know what the moon is. So then a person who does know the moon, then he points in the direction of the moon and says, you see in the distance there, you see that tree. Right? And then they say, yes, I see the tree. And so up at the top of the tree, he says, yes. And you see, and then off to the left there, there's one branch sticking out. He says, yes, I see that. And then at the end of the branch, you see that round, white, kind of like luminous circle. They say, yes, that's the moon. You understand? So that's how analogies work. They don't exactly give, but they're to give an indication. It's enough that we can get a glimpse, you know, some connection that we can relate to, the mind can grasp, the intelligence can grasp, that will have some meaning to us. So, therefore, then, these examples are given. Like that. And the last point is, there again we see that again and again, though the Shastras are always pointing to proper performance of duties and that, but more important is the attitude. That was one thing I saw when we were doing the work on this Manusamhita. You know, so it's a very large work. You know, it's like 400 pages. You know, this is just verses. Right? This is not with purport, this is verses. So then, in trying to get down to the essential points, you know, because the idea is that when we first start studying something, that we start off with the essential points, you know, the principles, the concepts, the definitions, you know, what is actually the importance of the work. So then slowly, slowly cutting it down, till the final one, I think, is about maybe like around 60 pages, you know. Because there's so many varieties of topic, subject matter. But what gets cut out is all of the technical applications. And what has to be left is the mentality, the mood, you know, the actual purpose of the activity. Does that make some sense? So that's, to Krishna, is the important, is the essential point. Is that the essential point then is, what is that attitude then that done in connection with the activities then becomes very, very important. A cameo appearance.
No, I don't hear you speak. I go totally insane today.
Oh, okay. But in the material world, everybody is already insane. So this is the this is the medicine.
I sure need a lot of
a lot of medicine. Yes, it's a, I think the example is given of pouring the nectar into the ears. You know, hearing the Lord's. You know,
pour it through my nose.
Everywhere, just pour it. Yeah. So it's just the last two the discussions were on basically the same point of Krishna entering Dwarka. And then one was bringing out the element of that, the Paramahamsas, because the conscious compared like the Paramahamsas that take on that quality of the Lord. You know, it's reflected as his, that reddish of his hands and that. So the Paramahamsa is able to see Krishna everywhere.
Is that an answer to a question?
No, no, this is the, these were the presentations.
Oh.
We just had finished two presentations. So one was giving that. And then the other was that the, of the Lord going and, you know, his beauty and the whole presentation, that it's like anything that you would see in this world is beautiful, but Krishna is like taking all of them at once and seeing it. So you can never, you would never have that experience, you know, more than one beautiful thing at a time, like that. And then the element of that, the he gave the told the story of the Brahmin and the cobbler, who met Narad Muni and asked him, ask what Narayan is doing and when I'll go back to Godhead. So then, you know, then.
What did she give hers?
She gave hers and also Chaitanya. So we had two. Yeah. So he gave. That's nice. And that, like that. So it's just how the Brahmin, he was thinking, because I'm doing the activity, therefore I have the Lord in my pocket. And then when he's told, when he asks him, well, I don't think you went there, you know. You know, because you said, I'll take many births. So then what actually, you know, what was he doing? Oh, he's threading the elephant through the eye of a needle. He says, no, I definitely know you didn't go. You know, so, you know, get out of here. Well, the carpenter is, hey, if he can stick a banyan tree inside of a seed, so why can't he put an elephant through the eye of a needle, right? You know, so therefore then one lifetime.
Yeah.
But that, so that
in,
was...
In the six systems... of philosophy, they're matched in pairs, and there's particular controversy between the two pairs. I mean, there's controversy between all, but between the two, because the three pairs are very similar. So there's particular controversy between Mimamsaka, Karma Mimamsa, and Vedanta, and we are Vedantists, Bhakti Vedantists. And of course there's Mayavadi Vedanta, and there's a controversy there. But between Karma and Mimamsa and Vedanta, there's a controversy of actually what is the purpose of the Vedas. So the Mimamsakas, they accept the eternality of the soul, but the soul is eternally a bhogi. The soul exists to enjoy this material world. And this, they, so the Mimamsaka has become very expert in chanting the Vedic mantras for that purpose. In fact, one can see, say that they're more expert than the Vaishnava Brahmanas, because the Vaishnava Brahmanas are chanting to glorify Krishna, and Krishna is not satisfied by that type of technical perfection. We, you know the story of when he went to visit Vidura, at Hastinapur.
Mm.
And Vidura was so much in ecstasy that he was peeling bananas to give to the Lord, but he got confused and was giving the Lord the peels and keeping the bananas. And the Lord was taking the banana peels as if they were the greatest nectar. He was tasting them and he was so appreciated because Vidura was offering with such love. And this is what the Lord takes. Whereas the Mimamsakas are into technical perfection and into fruitive results. So they chant the Vedas. You can say, in one sense, even more perfectly in the technical sense. They're very, very careful about all the swaras, all these things. And great Mimamsakas can actually, by sound vibration, cause the different deities they're addressing to appear, to give the results. So actually they think they are the Ishwara, you see, because by chanting mantras, then the devas appear, they get the result, business finished. And about any supreme Ishwara that may be above the whole thing, he's not important, it doesn't matter. You must have read that in Prabhupada's purports. They don't care. Who cares if there's a God or not? It's not important. Because if you chant, if you do the technical Vedic process, you get the result. And another thing about the Mimamsaka philosophy is that we believe the material world is eternal. So the soul is eternal, the material world is eternal. You go from body to body to body, but that's no problem. If you keep up your good karma, mimamsa, the word mimamsa means to study very carefully. So you just study very carefully all your karma throughout your life. Make sure that when you eat, you're putting something aside for Yamaraj and his scribes. You know, it's like a bribe, you know. They always put something to the side. Here's something for you, you know, so you'll be happy. You won't come after me at the time of death. And so it's just a cycle. They imagine that they're just going up into heaven after this life. Stay up there, their punya runs up, come back down to earth, do more karma, go back up. And what a fine time. You know, birth and death is not so bad. This was always on earth too. You're tasting. They're able through the mantras to taste heavenly nectar on earth. There's this yajna for producing soma, and they would drink it in ancient times and enjoy the soma here on earth even. But the Vedantists reject this entirely. This is a big controversy. Because the Vedantists are renunciates. Actually, Vedanta is supposed to begin in proper, if everything is lined up properly, varna, ashram, the vidyas, then the Vedanta is the study of the sannyasis, the renunciates. So, vanaprastha sannyasis, getting ready to leave the world. And Vedanta says, atato brahma jignasya, all of this, everything, all these nice things that the karma monks are chanting grace mantras for are coming from one source, and that is Brahman. Therefore, he is the Purusha Arta, he is the actual goal. Everything we want is there in him, eternally. And so to achieve him, we have to leave this temporary material world to achieve him. So, this applies to, when I was listening to Maharaj, this applies to us too, very much so. This is not some esoteric, ancient philosophical controversy which really doesn't matter now. Because, alright, now I'll speak very openly. Sometimes I hear on the loudspeakers from the temple certain melodies of Hare Krishna mantra being chanted. This Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Prabhupada did not approve of this kind of melody. In our time, when Prabhupada was on the planet, there was another one. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. So devotees like these melodies. Why? Because it's very beautiful music. These melodies are actually, many of them are coming from the bowels, the sahajyas. They're chanting simply for entertainment, simply to get a good material feeling, just like when you hear any nice material melody, you enjoy it. So Prabhupada told my godbrother, Ravati Nandan Maharaj, this melody he introduced, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Now this is not necessarily, we're not trying to say this is the only bona fide melody. If you chant any other melody, you're in Maya, because obviously there's a morning melody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But the Prabhupada said, the syllables of the holy name should be in the foreground so that we can hear them and absorb a consciousness, and the melody should be supporting that. He said the kartals are to keep the time, and the mridangas are to produce the ecstasy, whereby we, the enthusiasm, whereby we feel ecstasy, raise our hands, and dance. And the dance is the ecstasy. The dance is the rasa that we experience in kirtan. Not crying, not... Well, that may come later, of course, at the dance stage, but not the mind being carried away with some pretty melodies sung by a, you know, soft voice and nice harmonium. And not to say that that's bad either, because for preaching it's very good, it's attractive. But if we as devotees start to thinking that this is what kirtan is, very nice music that you know, takes the mind away, like music we used to listen to before we were devotees, then we are like karma mimamsakas. We have the ultimate Vedic vibration, which is the holy name of the Lord, but we're trying to get sense gratification from it. And Prabhupada gave very clear instructions about this. He said these melodies which are too fancy, too, you know, that's all you listen to. When my godbrother, as I always say, I learned the meaning of the word godbrother from Vishnu Jan Maharaj, who I was very close to for 3 years. And he was so perfectly honest. He always used to tell me about how Prabhupada corrected him. And he was the one, Prabhupada recorded this Sad Goswami Ashtakam. It's a famous recording. It was originally just Prabhupada and kartals. And Vishnu Jan Maharaj had a friend, actually two friends, husband and wife. One played tampura and the other played sarod, which is a Muslim version of an Indian, I guess, veena. The Muslims took the veena and turned it into sarod. So therefore you have that recording that starts with this exotic sounding sarod introduction and in the background. And when he brought that back, he did that all himself at a studio, and he brought the recording back to Prabhupada, and he was very excited that now Prabhupada's going to really enjoy this. And Prabhupada heard this and he said, they will simply listen to those instruments, not to me. And Prabhupada was not very satisfied at all. So Prabhupada, he very much stressed that when we chant, we hear the holy name and we derive the bliss from the holy name in the bona fide fashion, which means play kartals, probably, and this all has its meaning too, wonderful meaning. He said the kartals are the sounds of the gopis' ankle bells when they're dancing with Krishna. You see. So you can meditate like that. Play the kartals, chant the holy name, then the mridanga comes, and the mridanga, Prabhupada said, was invented by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada used to say that this is an instrument invented by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when the mridanga is played nicely, kartals keeping the beat, that means the mridanga beat also is not to become and take the mind away. It's the kartals that keep the beat. And the mridanga is behind just to get energy, build up energy according to the beat set by the kartals, that we dance in ecstasy. And that is the pleasure, that is the happiness of Harinam. And so you see this debate between Vedantists and Karmamimamsakas, because in our time has just taken a different form. And we have to sit over here and hear from the temple these melodies which are originating in some village across the border in Bangladesh. have these so-called Vaishnava saints with long hair and earrings and wild tilak and very effeminate. And they make up these melodies and then they get imported over here. And the devotees are just thinking, oh, this is the rasa.
This is the rasa basa. So that was my editorial commentary for today. Thank you, Maharaj. Now I feel a lot better. I was really sick.
So we'll end here, and then tomorrow we'll continue with I think there's a few more presentations by the boys, and then with questions and answers.
Oh, some more boys, okay, good.
Just one more boy. Okay, so one more presentation tomorrow, and then questions. Okay. And tomorrow we'll also be handing out the 12th for the 12th chapter.
And we will also finish anything from the 11th chapter that we feel, Maharaj and I feel, hasn't been covered. We will next week, Monday, go through that. Just make sure the 11th can. If it doesn't come out in the questions, then we may spend another day on the 11th canto. 11th chapter, and then go on to the 12th. Thank you.